This is Jeff Conway. Welcome to our sermon series.
So, this past week, I voted. Did you vote? I hope you did. I'm always surprised. I'm shocked at the number of registered voters versus the amount of people that could be registered, and always shocked at the number of registered voters that do vote. So, I hope you did that, and glad you did that. Patty and I moved last year, whenever that was, so we're voted at a new place, and I was kind of shocked. I always thought that you know, your party was kind of a private thing, and so it's supposed to be. So you know, we're at Good Sam now is where we vote, and they had the two tables that were out there. It was like a Saturday Night Live skit that, you know, people would line up, and so the volunteers here and here for the two different names, and I don't know who this person was, but then this person was the person that gave you the ballot, but you walk up there, and you say your name, and then they call out, Yolanda Feinstein, Democrat! And then this person right here goes, Yolanda Feinstein, Democrat! And, you know, everybody knows, and they just were doing it. I didn't know they did that. I'm glad none of you were there, because I was trying to keep that kind of quiet. So, and I fool people all the time, because some, ooh, he's a Republican, definitely. And then others, oh, no way, he's a Democrat. So nobody knows. But except for everybody that was there, it was Sam at that time. But I stood up, and I was having one of my bad voice days, and it just wasn't coming out very well. And so, you know, I said my name, and she said, pardon me, and I said it again, and she still didn't quite understand it, so I said, C-O-N-W-A-Y, Conway. She goes, great, got it. She's flipping through all of the papers and stuff, and she looks up at me, and she went, Lorraine? You know, this isn't fake. I don't make these things up. I was just like, Lorraine? So, you know, I didn't have a sweater on. I mean, I don't know. I might have even had a tie. And I don't know, maybe, anyway. You know, there are a couple things that I could do here. My humor, you know, is strange at times. And so, you know, I had this moment of pause. And thankfully, God spoke to me and said, this is a volunteer. They're giving of their time. They're doing this wonderful thing. Just keep your mouth shut. So I just said, no. And left it at that. And then I looked down and I realized she was looking at Con Lee. So we went over the spelling again and found my name. And I was able to vote. I am not Lorraine. Not Lorraine. But you know what? Thank you, God, for holding my tongue. Because sometimes when I think I'm being funny, it doesn't always come across as funny. And sometimes when we use words, they really can be harsh words, words of fire. And so as the choir shared with us this day, we're talking about words of fire this morning, focusing on fire and that image of God. And so all throughout Scripture, and we know this from our own lives, also fire, when you think of fire, it's that place that brings warmth. Fire is a place that cooked food. Certainly in the Old Testament times, when they thought of fire, they would think of light, and bringing light to dark places was that fire. Fire was also used in sacrifices. You brought the grain sacrifice or the animal sacrifices. Fire would be there to consume it. But today we're focusing on words of fire. And so those words of fire, those words of challenge, that come from God to each one of us. So we're going to turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, beginning with verse 23. And hear God speaking to us this morning. I am a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off. Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back. Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart. They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they tell one another, just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? See, therefore, I am against the prophets, says the Lord, who steal my words from one another. See, am I against the prophets, says the Lord, who use their own tongues and say, says the Lord. See, I am against those who prophesy lying dreams, says the Lord, and who tell them and who lead my people astray by their lies and their recklessness when I did not send them or appoint them. So they do not profit this people at all, says the Lord. And this is God's word to us this day. So the life of a prophet, and we've talked about this before, the life of a prophet was difficult and challenging. The prophet was the one who had to come in and speak those harsh words. Jeremiah began his ministry to the people of Judah during the time of Josiah, when Josiah was king. Now, Josiah followed his father and grandfather, who were awful, horrible, wretched, really poor kings that just led the people astray. And Josiah was the one, right at this time when Jeremiah began prophesying also, he was the one that tried to bring Israel back. But we know that each king kind of went close to God, went far away from God in different ways and in different cycles. And Jeremiah continued to prophesy until 587 when Jerusalem fell. It was a difficult time to be a prophet. He wasn't always appreciated as he shared these words of fire that the God has for us. So what's the challenge before each one of us? Words of fire. False prophets. How do you know what a false prophet is? I had a really weird dream this morning. I told Kim Beggs. We're trying to figure it out. It has to do with herd of cattle. I don't know. You know, and if I turned that into a God thing, that just would have been crazy. But this is the kind of stuff that the prophets were doing at that time. So how do we know if it's a false word or a truthful word? How do we judge that? We need to know God's word, right? So very clearly, you need to know things that are said, like Hezekiah 6:1. So we all are familiar with Hezekiah 6:1. God helps those who help themselves, right? You're familiar with that verse. It's a powerful verse. It's a great American verse also. It's telling us we need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, and every one of us can do it on our own, right? Have you heard this saying before? God helps those who help themselves, right? Hezekiah 6:1. The only challenge is Hezekiah was a king. It's not in the Bible. He's a king in the Bible, but he hasn't written a book in the Bible. And so this here is a false scripture. Not true. I will not tell you, people that I pass by, God helps those who help themselves. Oh yeah, I know that. That's in, because we've heard that so often. So that lie and deceit, where really Proverbs 28:26 says, the one who trusts in their own heart is a fool. And so all that's there in Scripture for us is not about doing it just ourselves, but recognizing that we can't and that we need to rely and trust on God, not ourselves, right? In powerful ways. So we need to understand the fallacy that's out there, that which is false, and not walk with it, but go against it. But words of fire, true words of fire, can kind of fracture our thoughts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. That came out so beautifully from Doris and Jonathan as they were sharing about Belize and 20,000 meals that we're going to be doing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And we know in Luke chapter 10, we know that story that Jonathan shared with our young people this morning. That Good Samaritan story, right? The one who's robbed and he's left there on the side of the road. And who is it that Jesus picks to display those walking by that injured person? A priest. First, it's a priest that walks by him and walks by him. Does nothing. Then there's a Levite. Somebody also in that priestly family that walks by and doesn't do anything. So there's the Good Samaritan. It's a good guy, right? It's a good guy. Good Samaritan that Jesus uses. Right? But what's a Samaritan? Who was a Samaritan to the Hebrew people? An enemy. An enemy. More than just a stranger. An enemy. They worshipped on a different mountain. They worshipped with different practices. They didn't join with us when other armies were trying to attack us. They too are the enemy. So as sweet as this story can be, and it's lovely when you think about caring for and serving others, it's a wonderful, beautiful message. And that's a truthful word that's in that passage. But it's also words of fire. God's words fracture our thinking sometimes and make us think in a different way. When you see pictures like this on the news of a father and a daughter walking down a dirt road, and you wonder, who are these people? So I was down in Washington on Monday evening, and I went to a conference on Syrian refugees that World Vision hosted for pastors. And so when I think of this and I see this picture of this father and daughter walking towards the Croatian border, and I'm reminded that over 6 million children have had to leave Syria, just children. Not including the adults, 6 million children have had to leave Syria. And a number of them don't even have a dad's hand to hang on to. So Scripture fractures us sometimes because it challenges us in ways that we're not invited to just think about it politically. We're not invited to think about situations by our own concern or our own safety. But the words of fire, like Jeremiah is talking about the prophets, fracture our own beings and go, wait a minute. We're the children of God. How are we to participate in these kind of situations and do something differently? God wants the body of Christ throughout the world to be united and to make a difference. Right here, we have that kind of situation in our neighborhood. Challenges in families, in homes, in schools. And around the world, we know that you have those kind of situations also. Sometimes Jesus is inviting us to let our own hearts be fractured, that we can be opened up and be molded and melted into what God desires us to be. That image of fire is pretty powerful. Not just sweet message, but fire, that God wants to come in and burst in as fire, words of fire, and change who we are. Very clearly wants to do that. But as God comes in and bursts into our lives and the world, he doesn't want to do it like a forest fire that just indiscriminately gets rid of everything. Throughout Scripture, we have images in the Old Testament and the prophets, in the Psalms, and beautifully in 1 Peter about being refined by fire into that pure gold that God desires us to be. The refining of the world doesn't destroy everything and all that we are. It just helps get rid of those impurities. so that we can learn and focus on the real things that God wants us to focus on, right? Fire is a powerful thing. Fire is a powerful thing. So I invite you to open your hearts, open your minds, to let that word of fire from God come in and affect you and infect you in beautiful ways that you can move forward in glorifying God. I'm looking into your faces, and I can't tell if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I can't. You know, it doesn't matter that much when you go out. I can't see that. But what God wants us to see, and what I do see in your faces, are children of God who are making a difference, a powerful difference in this church, in this community right here, and extending into the world. That's what God wants for us as he refines us with fire, is that he wants our neighbors near and our neighbors far to know who we are when they look at us, that they would know that we are a part of the body of Christ, that Jesus is leading us to walk and speak and care differently about those close by and far away, so that God would be glorified. Not that we would be lifted up as neat people, so that God would be glorified. Don't get wrapped up in the fallacy. Know that at times God's word is going to fracture our own thoughts. But remember, the fulfillment that God wants out of all of this is the refining of our hearts through words of fire. So I told you last week that we were going to be looking at some different practices over the next few weeks of this Pentecost season. Some practices that we can do to help us come closer to God. So I have an invitation for you, and it's on the Facebook page, and it'll be on the web blast to remind you of that. But I'd like to invite you in between now and Pentecost Sunday in a couple of weeks to read through the Gospel of John. We'll focus on that on Pentecost a bit, but I want you to read through the Gospel of John, and you have a couple of weeks to do it. It's very doable. Very doable. And as you do that, I want you to pay attention to how Jesus speaks to strangers or those who might be considered enemies. I want you to pay attention how Jesus speaks to the disciples, and I want you to pay attention how Jesus speaks to the religious leaders of the time. So the strangers, the disciples, and the religious leaders. Pay particularly attention to those three things. And, you know, as you're reading through this, you don't have to study, you don't have to dig, you don't have to underline and take notes. I don't want you to do it that way. I want you to just read it like a novel. Just read it like a novel. Just sit down and relax and read through it. If you can read through it all at once, it's a beautiful thing to do. Many won't have the time to do that, but just take parts and read through that. And look at those reactions of our Lord Jesus to strangers, to the disciples, and to the religious leaders at that time. John is a beautiful gospel. Gives us wonderful images there. Images of vine and branches. Images of an eternal home and dwelling place that God has prepared for each one of us. So know that and celebrate that as we give thanks this day that Jesus is present. Jesus is here. Jesus is with us, dwelling within our hearts in the sweet unity of the body of Christ, invited to come to this table and celebrate in this feast.